Good morning, everyone. Welcome back to Learning to Fly, the podcast. Today's episode is something special. I have Brenna back to help host, and we have a guest who is an author and is an amazing person, and we're excited to dive in. So today we are joined by Ali Sarah. Good morning, my dears.
Hello.
How is everyone today?
I'm good. Thank you so much for having me here. I'm super excited to chat with you today.
Of course, we are thrilled to have you as well. Brenna, do you want to kick off with your first question?
Yeah, of course. So I was thinking maybe before we dive into everything about your book and upcoming projects and stuff, we could just get to know you a little bit. So tell us about yourself, spit out some random facts if you have them, and yeah.
Okay, well, I just graduated high school. I'm extremely musical theater obsessed, so I watched the Tonys religiously last night. What else? I like to bead and sew. I spend a lot of time reading. Yeah, I think those are the important things about me. Musical theater, books,
I also saw art that stuff. You bake a lot. Or are we lumping that in with art?
No, I do bake. Not as often as I used to, unfortunately, but I do love to bake.
Gotcha. Sorry, I was outdated.
And to go along with your love of beading and sewing and stuff, you have an Etsy shop. Do you want to tell us a little bit about the Shop of Starlight?
Yeah, so it's a COVID project, as most jewelry and beading things that I found myself doing are. And I started beading a lot during COVID because I didn't have much to do. And then I realized I have so much jewelry and I don't wear it. So then I opened up an Etsy shop, and I bead. I make bookish jewelry, miniature books that are really cute. And then I put them on my Etsy and see who would like to give them a new home.
Yeah.
Alrighty. And they look awesome. So we'll make sure to have the link and all the information in today's episode description.
Maddie, do you have a question?
I do. I just wanted to make sure you got to ask the ones that were near and dear to your heart.
Yeah.
So on the Learning to Fly podcast, we have a little bit of a tradition, and typically it comes at the end of the episode, but since we're co-hosting, I figured we would go ahead and throw it at you real quick. It's random question time. So this question has nothing to do with the fact that you're an author. It has nothing to do with anything that we do know about you. And you get to just say the first thing that comes to mind. Are you ready?
Yes.
Alrighty. So for today's random question, what is the most important? It can be a piece of jewelry. It can be an artifact by a different description, but an artifact to you.
Okay, so you said a piece of jewelry, so I will go with that. I have a necklace that I wear most days. I try every day, but I usually forget sometimes. So whenever I remember, I got it in Israel, and it's like a little key. Only the top of the key is a heart, and inside the heart, it's like branches for that are meant to symbolize the tree of life. So I really love that, and I wear it most days when I remember.
That is an awesome choice, and
yeah,
I think that definitely fits in with the artifact category.
Yes.
Alrighty, so I think we've gotten all of the, like, kind of silly, kind of important ones out of the way. Shall we jump into the usual stuff?
Sounds good.
Alrighty, so I'm sorry, we have a lot of authors coming up, but I believe that your book is still untitled to the public. Is that correct?
That is correct. Okay. It is Topsy.
Can you tell us maybe what genre it is?
Yeah, it's a young adult contemporary romance. It is set in a boarding school with two characters in their junior year of high school.
All right.
Yeah. That to give an idea for, like, the people who are like, I like this part of YA romance. I'm going to narrow it down a little bit.
And may I ask how long you've been working on it thus far?
Yeah, so I think since 2020, I think.
Okay, so also a semi-COVID project.
Yes.
Maybe for different reasons, but...
Yeah.
Brenna, did I interrupt you? Did you have one?
No, you're good.
And I was curious, what does publishing look like for you? Is it a traditional? Is it a self? Is it a hybrid? How are you going down that road?
I'm publishing with Snow Ridge Press. Their tagline is traditional publishing for indie authors. So I guess you could say it's kind of a hybrid because I'm not publishing with one of the big five, but I'm not doing it completely on my own, which I love because I have the support of Snow Ridge Press and especially its owner and my editor, Savannah. She's become a great friend. And I feel really lucky to have her on my team. Like, it would be so much more challenging to do this all by myself. So I'm really happy that I'm working with them on this.
I love that. And as somebody who has self-published, I can tell you definitely did it the right way. especially if you maybe weren't expecting to publish, which I don't know if that's the case for you, but I know that was for quite a few of our listeners.
I think I've always wanted to publish it. Over COVID, like towards the end of COVID, I did try like the traditional publishing, querying like literary agents and everything, but it didn't work out. And I really do like the smaller press idea because then I feel like they're more focused on me as an author and not just my book.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's really important to find with, you know, when you're trying to have this whole team behind you, you don't want them to only support one aspect of you, just your whole person.
Exactly,
Brenna, perfectly stated. So I know that you obviously read a lot, not to fall into the stereotype that to write you must read, but what are some of your favorite things to read?
Well, I'll read anything romance, basically. My favorite young adult books are The Heartbreakers and the subsequent books in the series by Ali Novak. It's not a well-known series/author, but I really love them. They were some of the first books I read. So, though, let's see. I love anything by Elle Kennedy. Cookie O'Gorman is another one of my favorite authors. She writes young adult romance, and, like, I love everything that she's written. And then adult, I may love Hypothesis Man. Like, I love it so much. Mia Sosa has some great books that I love. I'm staring at my bookshelf right now, trying to think. Because, you know, whenever you say, okay, what books do you like, just, like, your mind blanks.
That's
it happens every time.
I get that feeling.
Let's see. I also love fantasy, especially the Six of Crows duology and the Court of Thorns and Roses series.
Brenna, you were just talking about those, right?
Brenna loves those books. Those are some of my favorites, too. Yep.
Yeah, they're great.
Unfortunately, I'm a little bit older than you guys, and so I recognize some of the titles and not all of the titles, but at least I have homework.
Don't worry, I only recognize a few of the contemporaries.
I'm definitely more of a contemporary person.
Yeah, I'll respect that, I guess.
Okay. Oh no, Brenna, you can't pick fights on someone else's podcast. You can pick them with me,
Oh.
but you can't pick them with other guests.
It's fine.
So, Allie, my dear, I have a question and feel free to approach it however feels most comfortable, but what is unique or special in your eyes about your writing routine?
My writing routine. I don't have much of a writing routine. I will admit that a lot of my writing has been done in school. I
I
think
can
something
relate.
unique is what?
I can relate.
Something unique is that my school has a woodworking lab, and when I was right in the, when the book was in like the beginning stages of writing, I would just like put my laptop down on top of the laser cutter machine, and I would just like right there standing up typing with my laptop on top of the laser cutter machine, with all my friends being completely chaotic around me because that is what we do in the woodworking room.
When
That.
my
It's
boyfriend
the
was,
one.
oh,
Oh, you're good.
go ahead, Brenna.
One peaceful person just trying to write a book. That's it.
I was just gonna say, when my boyfriend was in high school, we also have the woodworking class, and he was in there with all his friends. And I didn't have a class that period, so I would go hang out and I would sit on the floor with my notebook, like spread across my lap and headphones in, and the same thing, everybody would run around me and it wasn't even my class. So yeah, I get that.
We
Excellent.
didn't have many classes in there, but we made it like our second home in school, my friends and I.
Fair, fair.
That's awesome.
And if you had a piece of advice for anybody who was either your age or newer to writing, what would your most important piece of advice be?
Keep writing until like write every day, like no matter if it's like one word or like 1,000 words, like just keep writing, like don't give up. This is actually not the first book that I wrote. The first book is hidden in my computer and will never be seen the light of day. Because now reading it over, I'm like, okay, is there like a plot to this, or is it just like two characters? But after the first book, which I thought was so amazing when I first wrote it. Yeah, now I can see that it still needs work to be like very much work. But I'd say don't give up and keep writing and you'll get it someday. You'll get there.
Yeah, that's great advice. And I'd like to piggyback off of that. That just means you've grown as a writer. Honestly,
Absolutely.
being able to find flaws in your own work and realize, hey, this needs change or this needs a plot. Like,
And
that.
yes, the answer is a pot. Yes.
It just shows that you've grown as a writer and you're able to. And I think that's a great skill, being able to critique your own work. I think that's something that everyone needs to work on.
And speaking of things to work on, what is a goal that you have? And it can be writing related or in general, but a goal that you have for the remainder of the year or the full coming year, whichever you choose to tackle.
Well, I'm currently working on a paranormal romance that I'd like to finish. My goal for the summer is to go see Hamilton on Broadway. We have been entering every day for like months, but we still have not won. So that is my current goal, just to go see Hamilton on Broadway. Yeah, in terms of writing, I'd say edit the book. My editor's going through her second read through now, so I get those back in a couple days, and I'm super excited to begin editing. That's also one of my soon-to-be goals.
Those are some amazing goals, and I can definitely appreciate that you put like fun goals and work goals in there. I think that shows some great balance.
Yeah,
Yeah.
definitely.
And my goal for today is to make it to the library for the start of our summer reading program. I'm very excited that. I think I
Yes.
live. I visit the library like once a week now. A family friend was telling my mom the other day, you know, I see Allie at the week, like every, at the, no, I see Allie at the library, like every Friday now. Tell me a thing.
Yeah, Friday night library visit. Yeah. Totally support that.
Same. So speaking of summer reading, Brenna and I have something called the Learning to Fly Summer Reading Challenge, and if anybody wants to join it, it's on Instagram and Twitter and all the other socials with the hashtag LTF Summer Reading. And basically, we borrowed from a local library to us, and we used their format but modified what it means to complete the format. You can read five, anything you want, books, movie, scripts, plays, whatever. You can support five people in any way that you want, and you can create five anythings you want. And that's all you have to do. Some of us have been doing it every week. Some of us have been doing it every month, and some people just want to complete it once. But that's our Learning to Fly Summer Reading Program, and anybody who wants to join is absolutely welcome. That is what inspired today's episode of Learning to Fly the podcast. And even though that in itself was an ad, we're going to pause to have our actual ads for today, and we'll be right back, you guys. Hey there, everyone. This is Madison from Learning to Fly the podcast and sincerely Blue Jay Poetry. Today, I just wanted to take a second to let you know about Nourished and Free, a recipe ebook written by Gabby Sorensen, or Gabicado, my dear and lovely friend. Typically, this book retails for about $30, and you can find it in the episode description, but it frequently goes on sale as well. It's full of 80 easy, wholesome recipes that can be vegan, can be vegetarian, or you can mix it up and add your own proteins and your own favorite items. And it's really just a great thing to have in your repertoire. Alrighty, so I just wanted to take a second and let you know about Nourished and Free, one of the best ebook recipe guides I've come across so far. Thanks so much, and let's return to the episode.
Stop frantically searching the internet. We're here to talk about My Noise 2, the new book from Ash Raymond James. It is like a takeoff in space, all about his life. It is going to inspire you. It's going to make your heart and your mind like fall in love again. It's going to redefine gravity. It's My Noise 2. Get up and start dancing. It's time. It's My Noise 2.
Alrighty, guys, as we come back, we actually ran through that episode a lot faster than I think any of us were planning. So, the second half is bonus random questions hosted by both Brenna and I, and so excited to see what Allie comes up with. So, if everyone is ready, who's got the first question? Brenna?
You do.
I do. Okay. Today's first random question is going to be, lemon or no lemon in your water?
No lemon.
Are you a fan of citrus at all?
Not really.
Fair.
Not a person. I do like the occasional like baked goods, like lemon squares.
Okay.
But that's it.
Okay.
That's kind of how I...
See, Brenna and I, we get along, except for when we're on the podcast, apparently, because our opinions are so very different.
Then we find out things about each other, and we're like, oh, dang. All right. It's a learning space for everyone.
It is. So, Allie, when I write, I typically write in a notebook, and I have a candle going, and I have, like, a favorite pen. Do you have any pieces of your writing, aside from the woodshop room, that are essential to what you do?
Just my laptop, I feel like. I write on the laptop. I have two bookish stickers on my laptop that I made myself. So I like those there. For my paranormal romance, I was writing notes down in, like, a journal. So I'll have that, which has my, like, chapter outlines and, like, sneak guide to the characters. Like, if I forget one of the minor characters' names, I can just, like, go back and check that. So I have that when I'm writing that. But for my trilogy, I don't think I have anything specific. Occasionally, I'll light a candle. But, yeah, that's it.
And what programs do you use to write your novels? Do you use Scrivener or Word or anything specific?
I use Google Docs.
Okay.
I started out with Microsoft Word, but then I wanted to write on a different device, and it was just annoying to have to, like, copy and paste it every single time. So now I just use Google Docs, and fun fact, when I started writing my trilogy, the docs were titled Story Idea 1, Story Idea 2, and Story Idea 3. So the first drafts of all three, even though they now all have titles, are still titled Story Ideas.
That is awesome.
Cute. Love that.
So
it starts out as Story Ideas, and now we're here.
I know. I never would have imagined.
No. So, for my question, coffee or tea?
Neither.
Oh, water?
Yeah, or hot chocolate in the winter.
Oh.
I'm not a fan of tea, and I'm also just not a fan of coffee. Occasionally, I'll get, like, a Java chip frappuccino, which is, like, the most coffee-ish I get.
There's no coffee in that. They tell you there is. There's not.
Wait, really? No.
So I am a Starbucks barista. There's coffee, but it's not real coffee. It's coffee mixed with sugar, basically. And it's very, 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 very little coffee. So it's not enough to actually call it a coffee beverage. Like, I could sell that to a 2-year-old and I would be perfectly morally fine. There's not enough coffee in it for there to be a problem.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm drinking every day.
Excuse me, guys. Sorry. Brenna, do you have another question or should I run with one of mine?
If you could turn into any animal in the entire world, extinct or non-extinct, what would you be?
I can honestly say I've never thought about that before.
What kind of writer are you? Just kidding.
I don't think I'd want to be an animal. Like in general, I'm not much of an animal person because dogs scare me. And I've never really been around cats much, so, like, I'm not much of an animal person. I do love turtles, though, but I don't think I'd want to be a turtle. Maybe a cat. Cats are cool.
Okay, so since you don't want to be an animal, what animal would you rather be able to talk to?
That's interesting.
That's a good spin.
I don't know. Maybe also cats? Or dogs, like, why don't you like me? Why do you keep barking when I come near you? It's a real thing. Like, the other day, I was walking through my friend's kitchen, and he has a dog, and the dog was, like, walking towards me, like, backing me into a corner. And apparently they can smell fear.
I mean, the dog also could have just wanted love.
Well, maybe.
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 As somebody who has a ginormous golden retriever, he is scary to look at, but he's not scary in any other respect. And I think a lot of dogs are kind of like that.
As somebody who has 3 little dogs, they're cute to look at and they are absolutely terrifying. So it goes both ways.
Fair.
I think I'd rather a small dog.
Oh, they bark. A lot.
Like, all dogs bark.
Mine hardly ever does.
Well, my friend once told us that, different friend, that his dog doesn't bark, but then he sent us a video and his dog was barking. So, that's not true. But my friend.
Ours barks twice if he wants to come in, and he's left outside. And then he has a certain playtime, and if you use a certain toy, he will bark at you. But other than that, he doesn't fucking bark. It's hilarious. But, Brenna, did you have more questions?
Oh, no, I think that was it for me. At least for now.
So I know that a lot of us writers, and since there are three of us here, we tend to have our weird quirks, be it in how we write, where we write, or something else entirely. What is one of your weird quirks?
Maybe that I don't show anyone my writing until, like, the book is completely done.
Okay.
Yeah, my family didn't know about it for, like, ages. And then finally, when I told them when I was planning on sending it to literary agents and publishers.
I know both you and Brenna recently celebrated graduations. How did that feel after the pandemic and some of these factors that not every graduating class had to deal with?
So it was actually really nice. We were able to be indoors. I have a pretty big grade, so we were all in the gym. They crammed like 1,000 people onto chairs just staring at us on the bleachers. Our graduation was around an hour, so like not too long, which is nice. And I was part of a group that sang an a cappella medley that we had also sung at a performance earlier in the year. I did decorate my graduation cap. I used a Hamilton quote. I was tempted to do I Wrote My Way Out because, you know, the whole writing thing, but I went with something else. It was really nice. I did not like the gowns and the caps, basically. I had a very lovely dress that I wanted to wear, and then it was hidden by the red gown.
Fair, fair.
I did love your Hamilton quote on the cap. That was very awesome. I wanted to do something like that, but my mom would not allow me.
So I don't think we were technically allowed, but they didn't do anything. Also, I didn't do it directly on the caps. Like, if I got there, they were like, no, you can't graduate because you drew on your cap. So what I did was I took, like, a sparkly piece of cardboard, and I decorated that, and I just stuck that onto the cap with, like, removable tape.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, but one of my friends, like, painted on her cap directly, so... Everyone get different things.
I love that they're like, you're not allowed to to decorate the thing that you paid for. That's always been funny to me.
Losers.
Let's see. I know that you like Hamilton because that's come up a couple of times. What are some other things you like to quote from?
Let's see. My yearbook quote was from A Court of Thorns and Roses.
Okay.
Oh, which quote?
To the star. There are a few I was considering, so I honestly cannot remember which one. I think it was the stars. To the stars quote.
To the stars who listen and dreams that are answered.
Yeah, that one.
I think it's how that goes.
Yeah.
Awesome. I love that quote.
I think it was that one in the end. There were a bunch of others. I wanted a bookish quote for my yearbook, so I knew it would be one of those. Yeah, I'll quote from Legally Blonde quite a bit. My family has gotten very annoyed of me singing random Legally Blonde lines.
It's fine.
When I was in 7th grade, I was in musical choir, and I'm sorry, show choir. And musical theater, and we did a Legally Blonde musical as 7th graders. It was hilarious. So,
ooh, how did it go?
It was funny. We're just gonna leave it at that.
I want to see everything.
Thank God we didn't record it. But I just I thought it was an interesting choice for kids so young.
Yeah,
that's definitely interesting.
And so when you said Legally Blonde, I had flashbacks of that. But I'm glad it makes you happy. I'm glad that you can quote it, sing it, whatever your heart desires. And we have time for one more question before the typical, like, where can we find and support you? And, you know, closing out. So, Brenna, would you like to ask our final question?
Yes. If you could listen to only one album or soundtrack for the rest of your life, nothing else, what would you choose?
No, why are you making me pick?
Because
that's really hard.
Could it be like a best of album so that there's multiple artists?
Yeah, whatever exists. But it has to exist. Let's not just like, I'm not going to make up my own.
Well, for making up our own, I have a really awesome playlist that I like, which has like all my favorite musical theater artists.
But in today's day and age, playlists are kind of like albums.
Okay, then I pick my playlist, every single musical theater song that I love. picking a favorite album is like picking a favorite musical, and that's impossible. It's like picking a favorite book. You can't do it.
No.
People are weird. I can do both, but thank you both so very much for your time. Allie, where are the best places to find and support you?
So you can find me on Instagram at author Allie Sarah, Allie, A-L-L-I-E, not a Y. And for my shop, which you mentioned earlier, you can find me on Instagram and Etsy at The Shop of Starlight. Yes, like the city of Starlight from ACOTAR. And you can find me on TikTok at the.book.princess.
And where will the first, like, information about being able to buy and support your book be? Will that be on social media or will that be elsewhere?
Yeah, they'll definitely be on social media. My Instagram, I feel like, will have probably the first news.
Okay.
So you can definitely find out there. It'll be a while, but coming.
That's
fair. Excited.
That's fair. And Brenna, since you helped host, where can we find and support you, my dear?
You can find me on Instagram at Rose Colored Books, on Twitter at Brenna Books, even though I don't really post bookish things there. I don't know. That's about it from me.
Fair enough. Thank you both so very much. I can't tell you how much fun this has been. And thank you for tuning into today's episode of Learning to Fly the Podcast. As always, we'll be back tomorrow with more shenanigans. Bye for now. Thank you.